I want to leave with you tonight five famous words that are found in John chapter 3 and the verse 7. The Lord Jesus said unto Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Ye must be born again. A famous evangelist was seated at a welcoming dinner and given an honor of himself, attended by the civic, business, religious, political leaders of the Eastern Nation that had invited him to come for a great gospel campaign. The man sitting next to the evangelist was the Archbishop of the country. And during the course of the conversation, during the course of the evening, the visiting evangelist asked the Archbishop when he had become a born-again Christian. The man's eyes glistened with emotion as he put down his fork and proceeded to tell the preacher his story. He had already been installed in the country as the Archbishop when he was invited to the city of Chicago to give a lecture in a very prominent theological school. He accepted the invitation. He found himself in North America in the city of Chicago, and one afternoon, in an effort to do some sightseeing, he boarded a city bus. And no sooner had he sat down on that sightseeing bus when a big black finger tapped him on the shoulder. He turned round to look into the full ebony face of an obviously very poor lady who was seated behind him. In a wonderfully rich voice, she asked him, "Mister, has yous ever been born again?" He frowned, thinking for sure he had misunderstood the question, since English was his second language, and with polite reserve he said, "Excuse me?" The deep rolling voice repeated the question. She said, "Sirs, have you ever been born again?" The Archbishop stiffened his neck. He straightened his shoulders and replied with the greatest of dignity. He said to her, "My dear madam, I am the Archbishop of my country, and I am in this city to give a theological lecture in a very prestigious theological seminary." As the bus rolled to a stop, the woman rose to get off, and she looked at the proud religious man dressed in his flowing robes, bearing the bejeweled insignia of his office, and she persisted bluntly. She said, "Mister, that ain't what I asked you. I asked you, has you ever been born again?" And then she turned, walked off the bus, and out of his life. But the Archbishop said her words rang in his ears and burned in his soul. And so very quickly he turned and he went back to his hotel room, and he found a Gideon Bible in his bedroom, and he opened the Word of God to the Gospel of John, and he read the familiar story of Nicodemus. And with increasing clarity and conviction, he became convinced that even with all of his religious training, his devotion, his service, his recognition, the fact that he had climbed to the very highest religious position in the land, that he had never been born again by the Spirit of God. And so that night, he slipped down upon his knees, and that night, in a Chicago hotel room, thousands of miles away from his home, God answered the cry of his soul, and he was born again by the Spirit of the living God. Can I ask you, my friend, tonight, a very simple question? Have you been born again? If not, you're not a member of God's family. You may be religious, you may be respectable, you may be a member of this church, you may be a member of that church, the other church. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be a church member. You may be a member of your choir. You may be a preacher of the Word of God. But unless you're born again, you are not ready for eternity. This is the only starting place of the Christian life. The Lord Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You remember back in the year 1976. Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer from the South, was running against President Gerald Ford for the presidency. And you know, Jimmy Carter caused quite a stir in the United States of America while he was running for the presidency, because he used a phrase that had never been probably so preeminently and prominently broadcast on American television. He said that he was not a Christian. He said that he was a born-again Christian. And that caused a tremendous stir in the country. This phrase, born again, is a Bible phrase which describes a Bible experience. The technical word, the theological word, if you want it tonight, is regeneration. Paul tells us in Titus that we're saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And what I'm talking about tonight is regeneration, about a person being made a new person. Being born again is not reformation. Reformation is putting a new suit on the man. Regeneration is putting a new man in the suit. Reformation is whitewashing. Being born again is washing white. And so in the New Testament, we're thinking about the act of God by which He imparts His life, spiritual life, to a sinner who trusts Christ as his Savior. And my friends, is that not what we all need? Not another birth, but a new birth. A birth of the Spirit, a birth from above. The Lord Jesus said, ye must be born again. Five words, three questions. Ye. That raises the question, who? Must. That raises the question, why? Born again. That raises the question, what? You can see here the personality of the new birth. Ye. You can see the necessity of the new birth. Must. You can see the reality of the new birth. Be born again. You see, my dear friends, the message that the Master brings here is a very personal one. As He looks into the eye of this religious leader, He says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You know, Nicodemus is as fine a specimen of humanity as you wish to find. Do you see him as he puts his pride into his pocket and seeks an interview with this young prophet preacher from Galilee? You say, who was this guy, Nicodemus? Well, he was a bit like the archbishop that I was telling you about. He was someone who was very religious. He was a man of the Pharisees, John tells us. That means that he was a man who belonged to the strictest religious group, the strictest religious sect of his time. There were 7,000 of them in the day of Christ, and they became the most spiritual, the major spiritual, political, and religious power in Judaism. They loved to be seen giving. They loved to pray in public. They loved to disfigure their faces that they might appear unto men that they were fasting. They were known for their outward religion. The Lord Jesus denounced them time and time again. He said, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous to men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And Nicodemus belonged to the separated ones. And yet he was not born again by the Spirit of God. I wonder how many of you tonight in this building have been lulled to sleep by Satan because you have equated religion with the new birth. And if I were to ask you tonight how you'd stand before God, you would say, well, Dennis, you know, I'm a member of the church. And to give financially into the church. And to pray and to read the Bible and to try to live by the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount. And you're here tonight and you've got an outward form, but you've got no inward reality. You've got a religion which is a form, but not a force. Nicodemus was religious. John tells us that he was prestigious. He tells us something about his rank. He was a ruler of the Jews. He occupied a prominent place. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. That was the Supreme Court of the Jews. John tells us that He not only tells us about his rank, he tells us about his reputation. He says, are you the famous master in Israel? In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, are you the theological teacher? Are you the one, Nicodemus, that everyone is talking about? Nicodemus was a guy of established reputation. John's talking about his reputation. He's talking about his role. He's talking about his riches. He said he was a ruler of the Jews. And that title is used in Jewish literature for a great man. Indeed, rabbinical literature tells us that Nicodemus was one of the three richest men in the city of Jerusalem. Here was a man who had climbed the social ladder. He had climbed the religious ladder. He was a man of established reputation. He was a man of repute. He was a man who was respected in the community. And yet to such a man, Jesus says, you must be born again. Nicodemus was very curious. He was inquisitive and eager to learn who was this young prophet that had come from Galilee. Who was this young preacher that had taken the temple by storm? What about these miracles that were being performed by the Lord Jesus in the city of Jerusalem? Was this Jesus of Nazareth indeed the Messiah? My friends, Nicodemus had everything that life had to offer. And yet somehow none of these things that he had brought the peace and the satisfaction that he longed. Maybe this new prophet had something along these lines. And so he comes to Jesus by night. He comes under the cloak of darkness. He doesn't wish to cause a stir. He doesn't wish to create an impression. And he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're inquisitive. That's good. Maybe you've been attending meetings like these and you're asking questions about the things of God. That's good. That's good. Maybe you're here tonight and you're asking the question about your sin, about how you stand before God, the question of your soul, the question of is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is this thing called salvation, is it really real? Oh, Nicodemus had all of these things. He had religion, he had respectability, he was a man of established reputation, and yet Jesus said, you must be born again. There's something else I want you to notice about Nicodemus. He was not only religious, and he was. And he was not only prestigious, and he was not only curious, and he was nebulous. He came to Jesus by night, and he remained in the dark for a long time. He doesn't understand the new birth, even though Christ explained it to him. He says in verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, the Lord Jesus was talking about something which is spiritual. Nicodemus was thinking about something which is physical. Is it not the same today? You go up Lurgan Street or Belfast. You ask folk, are you born again by the Spirit of God? And they'll start to give you their family history. They'll start to tell you that Uncle John was in the Orange. And their father is a member of the this and that and the other. And they'll begin to give you the religious pedigree like Paul does in Philippians chapter 3. They'll begin to give you the religious pedigree. They'll tell you that they were confirmed and sprinkled and baptized. O.W.P. Nicholson said you could be confirmed, sprinkled, baptized, and even vaccinated and not go to God's heaven. You see, you can have all these things and not be born again of the Spirit of God. Some of you here tonight, you're curious and you're asking questions, but you need to be born again. Some of you tonight are religious and church-going, but you need to be born again. Some of you are educated and academic, and only God has given you that intellectual insight, but you need to be born again. Some of you have climbed the social ladder of success, but you need to be born again. Some of you are honest, you're upright, you're respectable, but you need a new birth. You say, why? Well, because the Lord Jesus says so. The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, every person, every generation needs regeneration. Here's the necessity of the new birth. The Lord Jesus is looking straight into the eye of Nicodemus, and he's saying the new birth is a must. It's a must. This is not something which is expedient. This is something which is necessary. Ye must be born again. You know, my dear friends, the Bible says that each of us must die. The Bible says we must needs die and as water spilt upon the ground. The Bible says that each of us must meet God. The Bible says so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And the Bible says we must be born again. For without the new birth there is no hope of heaven. It is not a matter of expediency. It is a matter of necessity. It is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. It is not an idea that you and I can toy with. It is an imperative. You must be born again. You say, preacher, why? Because of two things. One, because of our present condition. Two, because of our future, because of our prospective condemnation. Did you know tonight that you're a sinner? You say, preacher, that's not a good way to start the new year. My dear friend, that's how God describes you tonight. In fact, the Lord Jesus summarizes our sinful condition in this very passage. He says that we are blind in sin. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, the God of this world, the devil, he's even pulling down the shutter upon your mind just now. He's telling you that that preacher's ranting and raving just the way that he ended the old year. He's blinding your mind tonight. The old devil doesn't want you to see what God has for you in Christ. He doesn't want you to see what God can give you through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're blind in sin. And then the Lord Jesus tells us that we're bound in sin. He says in verse number 5, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see, without the new birth tonight, you're not only helpless, my dear friends, you're hopeless. You're like the man who for 38 years lay at the pool of Bethesda. And when the Lord Jesus came round the porches of Bethesda, he said to this poor paralytic man, he said, sir, wilt thou be made whole? And what a cry came from that burdened soul. He said, sir, I have no man. Wonder, is that you tonight, a picture of helplessness? Or you've tried to kick the habit, but all to no avail. You've tried to turn a new leaf, but all to no avail. You've tried to get rid of the sin in your life, but all to no avail. It's only Jesus Christ can set you free. And then the Lord Jesus tells us something else. He makes an interesting statement in verse 6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You know, just an hour or so ago, or maybe an hour and a half ago, or 2 hours ago, I looked on a newborn baby that was just born. At 9 o'clock this morning, that baby looked so innocent. I don't know how many times I've been in a maternity ward recently, but that's by the way. Looking on these precious little babies. But you know, that baby's born a sinner. Born a sinner. It's got that inborn bias to sin. That's what the Savior's saying here. He's saying that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Like always produces like. That which is born of man is human. That which is born of God is divine. That which is born of man is sinful. That which is born of God is spiritual. When I was born, the first time I received from my parents a sinful, Adamic, corrupt nature. But when I was born again as a lad of 9 years of age, I received from the Lord His divine nature. Nicodemus had experienced a physical birth which put him into this world. What he needed was a spiritual birth that would make him an heir to that world. My friend, you need to be born again tonight because of your sinful condition. And then you need to be born again tonight because of your prospective condemnation. For without this new birth, you'll have no pardon for your past, you'll have no dynamic for the present, and you'll have certainly no hope for the future. Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm here tonight to tell you that heaven can be reached without your money. I'm here tonight to tell you that heaven can be reached without your respectability. I'm here tonight to tell you that heaven may be reached without your social position. Heaven may be reached without education. Heaven may be reached without popularity. But it is clear as daylight tonight that heaven can never be reached without the new birth. And unless you are born again by the Spirit of God, by trusting Christ as your Savior, the golden streets of heaven you'll never see. Not to miss heaven. To miss heaven is to perish in hell. The hymn writer put it like this: O ye who would enter that glorious rest and sing with the ransomed the song of the blessed, the life everlasting if ye would obtain, ye must be born again. Now the word ye raises the question who. The word must raises the question why. The word born again raises the question what. You say, preacher, what is the new birth? Well, when you think of the birth of a baby, what do you think about? When you think about physical birth tonight, what do you think about? Well, you think about life. And my dear friend, when you think about spiritual birth, you think about spiritual life. This is the act of God by which He imparts His new life, His divine life, to a sinner who trusts Christ as Savior. My friend, I'm here tonight to tell you that you can be born again by the Spirit of God. Pastor was seeking to reach the ear of a doctor who was on the precipice of eternity. He had drew near to that doctor in his bedside when he was dying, and he had spoke to him about conversion and salvation and redemption, but nothing seemed to be getting through to him. And then he spoke to the doctor about the new birth, and immediately the man's ears pricked up. He had attended countless births. And he said to the preacher, he said, I've got it. I can see it. A baby has no past. A baby is only a future. That's what I need. My friends, tonight, that's what we all need. You know, I think that Nicodemus experienced this new birth. In John chapter 3, it was midnight in his soul. In John chapter 7, it was twilight in his soul. In John chapter 19, when he takes the body of the Lord Jesus, it's daylight in his soul. Tell me tonight, what about you? Have you been born again? Are you a new creation in Christ? You say, how does it happen? Well, it's made possible by the Savior. It's made possible by the Savior. The Lord Jesus says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The brazen serpent, why, it would be familiar to Nicodemus. It's a story of sin. Israel had rebelled against God. It had to be punished. It's a story of grace, for Moses prayed and God provided the remedy. My friend, tonight, here's the simple message of the gospel. It's possible for you to be born again, for on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ settled the sin question in its totality and for eternity. And tonight, there's a way back to God. You can be free from sin and from iniquity and from death and from hell. My dear friends, this new birth is made possible by the Savior. And then it's made powerful by the Spirit. You see, the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Two parents involved in physical birth, two parents involved in spiritual birth. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and presents the Christ of God to you. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, a miracle takes place in your life. It's made possible by the Savior. It's made powerful by the Spirit. It's made personal by the sinner. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man should be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Tell me tonight, are you born again? Have you looked by faith to Calvary? Soon as you're all, you enter on the atoning blood. The Holy Spirit enters. You're born of God. New births are reality tonight, you know. You know, some fellows tell us that this is all a psychological experience. It's not real. It's as real as physical birth. Ask Peter. One day he capitulated to Jesus Christ. And in his letters he talks about being born again
not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Ask the dying thief. He was hovering over eternity. He was on the very precipice of hell. He cried, Lord, remember me. And he was born again. Ask Saul of Tarsus. He's on his way to Damascus. He's breathing out slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And suddenly as he nears the city, he sees a light. He hears a voice. He's on his feet. Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? It's a real experience. You know, my friend, when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, everyone had some answers to the questions of life. Here's what the Romans said. The Romans said the way to solve life's problems is through military. Back it up with force. Law, back it up with force. The Greeks came along and said, no. The way to solve life's problems is through philosophy. People need teaching, they need universities, they need scholarships. And then the Jews came along and they said, no, you've got it wrong. The way to solve life's problems is through the priesthood. They need a temple. They need sacrifices. My friend, listen tonight. Wisdom will never change a man's heart. Law will never change a man's heart. Religion will never change a man's heart. But the new birth will. And Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. Friend, tonight God doesn't want to give you a new start in life. He wants to give you a new life to start with. Several years ago in Bristol, Canon Aiken preached to a vast company of people. He preached on these very words. There was a young man there that night in that vast company of people. His name was Horatius Bottomley. He was a brilliant young man. Tremendous academic ability, and he listened intently. He was deeply moved. At the close of the service, the invitation was given to trust Christ. And Bottomley thought, and he thought, and he thought. And then he said, no, this is definitely not for me. I want to run my own life. He did run his own life, made a fortune, became the people's hero. He exposed swindlers, vigorously prosecuted them. And then when he was 63 years of age, Bottomley, who had exposed the crimes of others, was found guilty of crime and sentenced to 7 years in prison. An officer from the church army visited him in the prison cell. And as he sat beside him, he related to Bottomley the story of his conversion. He said, sir, years ago I was in Colston Hall in Bristol, and Canon Aiken preached in these words, you must be born again. And I was convicted of my sin, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I became a new creature in Christ. And Bottomley thought, and he said, I was there too. I was there on the same evening that you were there. I felt my tremendous need of Jesus Christ. I was convicted of my sin. And he said, I went out that night and I turned my back upon the Savior of men. And then he said this, a life without Christ is a wasted life. My friend, tonight up until now you've lived without Christ, you've lived without God, you've lived without hope. Will you continue to do so? Or tonight will you take the step? First Sunday of a new year, you're going to nail it. And receive Jesus Christ as your personal, individual Savior. And walk out of this church tonight, born again by the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, I pray just now for those who are here, still untouched, still unmoved, still unsaved. I pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to them. And Father, grant them the gift of repentance and faith tonight. Lord, we couldn't create an anxious thought. We could not arouse a thought in the heart of a man or a woman in this hall tonight about eternity, about their standing before thee, Lord. But Lord, you can. So through your word,
by your Spirit. Arouse and awaken. And grant that someone tonight will come and trust Christ as their personal Savior. I ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.